From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now. Just a few hours ago, the 15 members of the UN Security Council stood in silent tribute after they learned of the death of the former Secretary General Boutros-Ghali. Boutros-Ghali led the UN during the 1990s as it dealt with the genocide in Rwanda.
There have also been tributes, of course, to the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia after his death this past weekend. And there's a battle shaping up over his replacement. We start there. President Obama says he will fill the vacancy. Congressional Republicans led by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell say they want the next president to fill the slot. Let's get a primer from Linda Green. She was counsel to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee from 1986 to 89, providing legal advice on five Supreme Court nominees. She's now at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Professor Green, we know after a president nominates someone, the Senate Majority Leader, in this case McConnell, passes that nomination on to the Senate Judiciary Committee. So start there. Can he refuse to do that?
That would be extraordinary. The problem with taking an action that might become a precedent is that we don't know in the future whether the Senate might be controlled by Democrats and where the White House might be controlled by Republicans. Hmm. And so some of the wild scenarios that people might propose, oh, that the majority leader would not refer it to the Senate Judiciary Committee, those kinds of actions would come back to haunt the Republican majority should the tables be turned in a subsequent time.
Well, Leader McConnell has said he's intending to not take up a nomination. Can he then stop the nomination when it goes, when it's voted out of the Judiciary Committee and goes to the full Senate? Can he not have hearings?
Yes, he could not have the Senate debate on the nomination on the Senate floor. There are several possibilities for stopping the nomination from a full Senate consideration. Traditionally, senators could put what they call a hold on a nomination, which is a signal that if it were to come to a vote, that that senator would be prepared to block it. So we've already heard that Senator Cruz and perhaps others are prepared to block the nomination. Well, how would they block the nomination if the majority leader brings it up for consideration? There are two motions. There's a motion to proceed to the nomination. Senator Cruz and the others who oppose that nomination would filibuster the motion to proceed. It would take 60 votes to cut off that filibuster.
And right now, the Democrats don't have 60 votes in the Senate.
They don't have 60 votes in the Senate, but the question would be whether there might be Republicans who would say, hey, I don't support this nomination, but I do support the idea that a nominee, that the president's nominee to the Supreme Court is entitled to a vote. That's a position that might benefit Republicans if the tables are turned. So that's possible.
Well, it's also possible that some of those Republicans are up for re-election, so they may have other considerations as to whether or not they want to, you know, stand with the filibuster or go against it. We're going to take that up in another segment. So you've taken us through some of these passageways. Is there another passageway after, you know, a potential filibuster that a nominee might have to get through? I mean, they have to be vetted by the Senate in the hearings as well. How does that work?
Before the president nominates anyone, the White House has its own vetting process. It involves every aspect of a potential nominee's background, taxes, criminal background, personal investigation. It's very, very deep. And a person really has to want to be a Supreme Court justice to go through that. And then when the president sends the nomination to the Senate, it's referred to Judiciary, and the Judiciary Committee has a very extensive process, which not only includes an investigation into background, further investigation, but a very long questionnaire about every single thing, every speech, everything that the nominee has ever written or said. And that takes a while. And that's why people are saying that it might be better for the president to nominate someone who's been through the process recently, because that person would have already filled out all of those forms and would only have to update forms. The questionnaires also concern ideology. So there's a very big process. And then eventually, if the committee decides, the committee will conduct a hearing.
And they'll also ultimately, if they don't have a filibuster, they will have an up or down vote. And we understand in this case, Republicans will have to have all but three votes to defeat the nomination. If Republicans lose by four votes, Vice President Joe Biden is the tiebreaker.
Yes.
So that's a look at the process. You say there's a backstory going on with this particular Supreme Court justice nomination.
Well, as of Valentine's Day, there were 81 total vacancies on the federal courts, for which there are 39 nominees waiting to be confirmed, and that of these 39 waiting, 32 of them were nominated in 2015, some of them in the early part of 2015. So there's a bigger picture here, maybe an argument that the Democrats might want to make, that this opposition to the Supreme Court is part of a larger pattern of the Senate neglecting its responsibility to actually have up and down votes on the president's nominees. And so that's the bigger picture. I feel like I want to quote Nelly, the singer, and say, it's getting hot in here. The good news is that this is going to be an exciting election, and maybe it will be one in which we have the highest turnout ever. Highest turnout ever was in 1961 with 62.8% of the vote, and we have maybe the possibility of a higher turnout than that. So maybe this will get the electorate excited and energized and get everybody participating in what promises to be an incredible presidential election season.
That's Linda Green. She's a past counsel to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee and now a professor of law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Professor Green, thank you.
Thank you.